The following Bass Talk Live iTunes podcast is brought to you by Lowrance. BTL, coming at you. Basscat Boats, Strike King Lures, AFCO, and Duckett Fishing. Good Monday, everybody. Welcome once again to BTL Bass Talk Live, where we're going to talk bass fishing and anything else that we want to talk about. Matthew, how you doing?
It's full swing. What do we used to have with Harold? What did we used to have with Harold Allen, Mark?
Oh, my gosh.
What was it called?
That was wide open.
I'm putting my notes together for this.
Well, you're supposed to get here sooner
to
do that.
I've got it together. You said, how are we doing? And I wasn't sure how I was going to open it because we got BPT, we got Costa, we got Elite Series, and we got FLW Tour, and it's all relevant and it's all happening right now.
Yeah, jam-packed week this week. Today we're going to have Jordan Leon, the man that got it done at Lake Toho and Lake. What was that other lake that they fished at yesterday called?
That one, yeah.
I don't remember. Okay. A different lake. Not Toho.
He got on him big time.
All right, we'll talk to him here in a few minutes, and then tomorrow, a much-anticipated show. The man that got this thing through, the creator, along with Gary Klein, obviously, the creator of Major League Fishing, Mr. Boyd Duckett's going to be live via Skype tomorrow, and I'm sure that's going to be a heavily watched and listened to show to get his take on what went down at Toho this week. Then wrapping up the week for us on Wednesday, we're going to have Mark Menendez, a rare off day for the Elite Series guys to kick things off at the St. John's River. We're going to have Mark Menendez on to kind of set up what's taking place in Florida once again. So another jam-packed week. And Matthew, you know, we had the viewer show on Wednesday, a lot of feedback from the viewers. I received a bunch of emails, feedback through YouTube. I think the reviews from a fan's perspective was mixed. It's the best way I can put it.
I agree.
Very mixed. A lot of really good comments. A lot of very positive comments. A lot of negative comments, too. Then a lot of people on the fence.
I agree.
Wait and see. I think there are a number of people out there that are wait and see. I think is we will find as this thing continues throughout the year that things are going to get more improved. They're going to get better. They're going to get much better from a streaming standpoint. But they had some issues, man. They had some issues. And I think Boyd will readily admit that tomorrow.
The term that came to my mind while I was watching this first Bass Pro Tour event was how easy it was to become a prisoner of the moment.
What does that mean?
It means on day one, when maybe things weren't going smoothly, or we were getting the rainbow screen dial tone, or there wasn't much live fishing, you went, oh, this is horrible.
Yeah, they had some issues.
When it got to the knockout round or the elimination round or the final round, and you're watching anglers in the last 2 minutes on live catch a fish with great commentating and a smooth stream, you said, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened in Earth.
Yeah.
So for me, I was trying to remember, okay, this is the first event. Let's keep it all in perspective. It's not everything's going to be different. You know, they went to Lake Garcia at the end, which was a different lake. So I had to be cognizant not to go one extreme or the other.
Yeah.
They're screwed on one end, greatest thing in the history of fishing on the other end.
Yeah.
And put it all in perspective and realize it was just one event.
Yeah.
And it was the first event. Yeah. But I thought it was very easy to become a prisoner of the moment watching the 6 days of coverage.
That's a very creative description.
And 37 hours of weigh-in or weigh-talk or
drive-through.
Drive-through
is what I'm calling it.
Yeah.
The drive-through.
Yeah.
The
actually,
post-game show.
Actually, are you forcing people in Guantanamo to watch the entire drive-through footage?
I can see some adjustments maybe taking place on that. Who knows? All right. A couple of things I want to address. As we mentioned, we're going to have Jordan Leon here in a few minutes. But I will say this. I have discovered two things. I've discovered multiple things as a result of this past weekend. But two particular things. One, the meat of the drama is between 15th place and 25th place.
Couldn't agree more. I could.
That right there, because of the fact that you are dropping weight, the drama, flat out, the drama is who's going to make it.
Absolutely. I could care less about the guys who are leading it, who are catching it.
Yeah.
They're so far ahead. Cool. Good for them. I want to watch the guys who are trying to catch that fish to get in, and I want to watch. I want to see a split screen simultaneously as that guy catches it to move into the top 20, and the guy reacts to know that he fell out of the top 20.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm good with that. I'm good with the whole drop weight thing.
No, I'm not.
I am good with that because, once again, it's change. It's different. All right? And the fact of the matter is that Jordan Lee barely made it in.
He made it in 20th place in his shotgun round by 2 ounces with 30 pounds, 12 ounces. He was in 20th place.
Yeah.
He was the last man in, and then he finished 6th place in the elimination round out of the top 10, and then he should have won by like 30 pounds if you watched all the fish that he lost. I've not seen him that animated ever.
Yeah.
I mean, sitting Indian style on the boat drinking a water just lamenting his bad fortune.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was the last guy in. I mean, he was 20 plus pounds behind the leader that day, and he ends up winning in a convincing fashion.
Yeah. All right. Here's what we're going to do. I've got some highlights, and I've got three highlights that I'm going to roll with the permission of Major League Fishing. All right. There were some very, very tense moments on the final day, and I'm going to cue this first one up. And the whole penalty situation, a very, very stressful situation. Did you see that, Matthew?
Where Jordan got the penalty and Edwin started catching him.
Yeah, with like 6 minutes to go.
And Edwin started catching him, and you could feel. I liked the tension and the drama. I liked watching that.
Yeah,
that was very much like a traditional sporting event.
Yeah, all right, check this out.
I'll take it. That's why you
hold this second.
Be a pound.
Okay. 1 pound, 3 ounces.
Oh my gosh.
Jordan Lee will have to sit for 2 minutes while Edwin Evers tries to track him down.
Pound, 5 ounces.
Now Edwin's going to get about a free minute 30 where Jordan's not fishing and he is.
Yes, sir.
What do I got?
100 seconds.
Or no, what's the weight? What's the weight?
Oh. You're 50 pounds, 4 ounces plus that 1.3, it would be 51.7.
What's that one got?
Edwin has 42.14. That will put you 8 pounds, 9 ounces into the lead ahead of Edwin.
There's a lot of 8 pounds.
70 seconds left.
Oh my gosh.
Score tracker has not updated. Evers now within 6 pounds and 1 ounce. And he's in the water while Lee's in the penalty box.
This is brutal.
5 seconds.
Absolutely brutal.
All right, so when all that is taking place, he's just sitting there knowing that Edwin is just whacking. Yeah,
it's like being up by one with 2.5 minutes left in the game, and some guy gets a slashing penalty, and now you got to kill off a penalty.
Yeah.
In retrospect, you know, it puts you more on edge. It puts you more tense because you know they're...
That was tense.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then this happened.
All
Evers has caught six scoreable bass in the last 20 minutes to narrow the gap.
Evers has caught another fish, 1 pound, 5 ounces. That narrows the lead to 6 pounds.
Big one, giant, stay on. Stay on, boy. I'm getting right there. I'm getting right there. Come on. Get your butt in here. Yes!
Woo! Might that be the knockout blow for Jordan Lee?
That's what I'm talking about. Yes!
3 pounds, 10 ounces.
That's not a giant, but...
We may have just seen the final nail in the coffin right there.
That pretty much sealed it right there, Matthew. Absolutely. There were some tense moments, and what was it, 3 pounds, 10 ounces, that final fish. And when you go back and you look at some of the other footage from Edwin's late rally, if that's what you want to call it, mm-hmm. there were a couple situations where he was hooked up that he didn't get the fish in. And that is the feature of what this game brings, that he catches a 5-pounder right there. It's a totally different game, and who knows if Jordan wins or loses. Here's the other thing that I was going to mention, and then I've got one more clip. Remember we talked about sports betting and whether or not that thing would be
viable?
Yeah, and take off. There is no way right now, without any historical data, that you would be able to do this.
Because it would be impossible
to
handicap.
It's so different. It's so different.
Yeah, it's hard to gauge whether they had... So it's hard to gauge whether
it
they
really
had good
is.
Days or not, or how to
Are
judge.
They sandbagging a little bit?
Well, that's the thing. This is the interesting thing. You see, guys like Ish or Gagliardi, Marty Robinson, Defoe, Randy Howell, who are not catching the maximum amount that they can the first 2 days because there's no point in it. You're 30 pounds to the good, and you know the weights are going to zero.
All right,
and you're going to see that in the elimination in the knockout round as well when the lake isn't changed.
Yeah.
So you're really only going to get 1 day to the first day to an extent, but I think you're really only going to get 1 day where you see these guys go all out and catch everything that they can, which is one of the reasons why I like the lake switch to the final day, which was a one-off in this tournament because the FLW Tour started practice on Toho on Sunday, but you got the knockout round where they caught all that they could on Toho, and then the Garcia where they're catching all they
could. All right, this is how it wrapped up.
Ten, nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. Lines out. That's the end of the final period.
We win?
I think you did.
Yes! Woo!
Sealed with a kiss.
Gosh, that feels so good. Oh my gosh, I gotta lay down for a second. Oh, man, that was just a battle. That was a battle the whole time. Man, this is so awesome.
There you have it. Jordan Lee gets it done. The very first BBT event.
Do you know what my first thought was?
What was that?
I want to see the trophy on the water. I want to see a boat.
What?
It's going to be down between two or three guys, and when that guy wins, I want him to be able to get that trophy on the boat and lift it up on the water, not have to wait 3 or 4 hours till the whole thing's done and do it on stage.
I don't know about that. By the way, some interesting stats here. He caught a total of 118 pounds, 15 ounces, 61 fish. His average weight was 115, and his biggest bass of the week was 411 on the final day.
Wins in Florida. Without catching a 5-pounder.
Crazy. It's good stuff, though, man. That sequence, that 6-minute sequence on the final day between him and Edwin.
Very good.
That's what it's going to be like, man. That right there, that is drama. All right, we're taking a break. Come back. with Jordan Lee. Everybody stay tuned. We are kicking off the week here on a Monday. Everybody, we'll be right back.
Sleek new design with easy control file. The clearest images underwater with uncompromising range. Live mapping from the touchscreen. View notifications, video, even Google Maps on screen. And for the first time ever, real-time view of fish movements with Live Sight Sonar. HDS Live. New from Lowrance.
The heart of the Basscat experience is the pride of ownership that comes with each blast-off and every precision hairpin turn. It's a rush of adrenaline driven by the total commitment to performance and the knowledge that no compromises were made building a craft that stands up to the rigors of competitive angling. Basscat combines the latest proprietary materials and building techniques with over 40 years of continuous family-run operation and our unwillingness to accept anything less than the best. Welcome to Basscat. Feel the rush.
Some people have seen a green ghost. Green Ghost, the new rod from Duckett Fishing. $79. It's coming February 2019. Duckett Fishing, pro driven.
It's about the hours spent getting everything just right. It's the attention to detail. Good just isn't good enough. It's the years spent on the water day after day. When you tie on a bait by Strike King, you're standing on the shoulders of legends.
Pros depend on hydraulic jack plates to get the best out of their boats. Do what they do. Demand Atlas Performance. Atlas gets you from the bottom to the top in less than 8 seconds, even with the big four strokes. And when you gotta turn right around and get that heavy load back up in rough water, Atlas's innovative design and American-made components will get you there with confidence.
I'm at Depot. Just look for yourself. There's an Atlas jack plate on just about every professional's boat.
The Atlas Hydraulic Jack Plate. You can depend on it.
The message is simple. Win. Coming in 2019, the Duckett Fishing Silverado. It's coming at you for $99.95. Check it out at DuckettFishing.com. There is no gray area, just silver. Check it out.
Hey guys, Aaron Martins here. I'm going to be telling you about a new product by Sunline. It's Siglon PE times 8. I've been using it almost extensively all year for my frogging, flipping, drop shotting, shaky heading, worming, jerk baiting. It's by far my favorite Sunline braid. I honestly don't say this unless I think it's true, but honestly, it's the best braid in the market out of any of the braids. Definitely check it out. It's a price point line, $14.95 for 165 yards, and that could last you a whole year, just one spool with using leader material. So again, it's Siglon PE times 8. It's my favorite braid, and I think if you use it, it'll be your favorite braid too.
Avco has a new foul weather rain suit called the Hydronaut. A lot of the features that I really like about it first is the speed vent hood. If it's raining out, you know, how a person gets wet is when you run down the lake and the hood comes down. With the speed vent hood, it's gonna stay up. It has a camera mount in the pocket on the chest. The Hydronaut has a two-layer, 100% waterproof nylon shell. If you're interested in a rain suit that has a lot of cool features that's gonna keep you dry, you need to check out the Hydronaut from Avco.
All right, we are back kicking off the week here on Monday with Jordan Lee. And did you say Dave picked Jordan?
Yeah, we went into the final day. Dave Rush, who was there, and he said, let's pick a guy on the final day. Who do you think? And I picked Edwin. And I said, because he just gets super ultra competitive. I was like, and this is a new thing, and I know he wants it. And I go, who you got, Dave? And Dave goes, I got Jordan Lee. And I said, why? He goes, because Jordan wins big tournaments.
Yeah.
And now it's...
Yeah.
Now he's got three.
All
you
right.
You know, you had talked about before. He goes, I've never won a tour-level event. I just won the back-to-back classics. Well, now he's won the tour-level event.
Yeah. Let's bring him in. Jordan, you there, man?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. I appreciate it. Yeah, good pick day. That was solid.
Yeah,
sure.
Sorry about that, Jordan.
Yeah, I hear you. You got to represent Oklahoma, boys. I hear you.
I hear you. Well, I mean, you just made the knockout round by 2 ounces. I mean, you almost weren't even in the thing headed into the top 40.
Yeah, you know, I got fortunate there on the second day. Like the last 45 minutes, I mean, that's when I started catching fish and got around some fish. And, you know, that's kind of the cool thing about this format that I enjoy is you're literally never out of it, because it's not like you can make up a lot of ground quick. And so there's a lot of lead changes. You know, it's not like you jump off to a huge lead and then you just coast. You know, I mean, you got to catch them every day. And you got to fish hard, pretty much the whole time. So yeah, I mean, I was definitely fortunate to get in to move on to the third day.
Jordan, things are so different because of the zeroed weights after each round. How do you approach things with you being in 20th place, you know, going into that next round? Do you approach it any different? Do you think that if you had an enormous lead or you found a good area, you know, obviously prior to the last day because you guys switched lakes, it just seems like the strategy is so different in these events.
Yeah, and, you know, it's going to be different every event, but it definitely is. You know, the thing that helped me was I got on some fish at Kissimmee on the second day. I got on them in the last 45 minutes. So I didn't really beat those fish up. I mean, I fished them for about 45 minutes, and, you know, that got me in to the third day, to the, to the cut day, going into the final round. So, you know, those fish were pretty much, you know, that third day on Kissimmee, I just, those were fresh fish, and I started off good, and, you know, I kind of learned more every day. But, yeah, the strategy plays a lot into it. I mean, it's really, you know, it's really not how you start. I mean, more than ever, you have to figure out a way to be consistent, get bites every day, and you know, and catch bigger ones every day. So it is different.
All right. I'm curious, the final day you switched lakes, the area that you were in, we showed some highlights to kick off the show, and it seemed like the area that you were in, it was hot, then it went a little cold, then it went hot, and then that last 6-minute span, have you experienced anything like that, even with your two classic wins, the pressure that was on?
Oh, no. I mean, it was just, you know, that last period was just phenomenal fishing. I mean, when I finally got around them out there, I mean, it was just, I was just getting bites. It seemed like there for a little bit. I mean, it was good. But the pressure, yeah, there at the end when Edwin was catching them really good, he was making a hard push, and, he had me on my seat and until I caught, I think, just the last, you know, almost close to 4-pounder. That kind of sealed it for me, and I knew that, you know, that was probably going to be it. But up until that point, you know, the last 3 minutes, I mean, you know, I felt like that he could knock me out at any time.
We've watched you at Cayuga and Hartwell and Gunnersville and Conroe fishing these things on the final day, and it almost seems like you just have ice water in your veins. Not that you lack emotion, but, I mean, you were pretty nonchalant catching those fish at Conroe. you know, with the mega bag and all that. Pretty nonchalant catching that giant fish at Hartwell. I have never, in my covering of knowing you since you were fishing college, seen you get that pissed off when you went through that string where you were losing fish. You lost two or three to row there on live. I mean, you sat down, you drank a glass of water, you were catching fish going, I don't even care about this fish. I care about the one I lost. Was that a result of the pressure of wanting to win the first one? Was it the every fish counts? I mean, what was it that kind of, for lack of a better term, triggered you during that 10-minute span?
Yeah, I mean, when you're losing fish like that, I mean, especially when they all count, I mean, you know that it could cost you, but at the same time, you know, I mean, I knew I was around a bunch of fish, so it wasn't like I was going, you know, an hour without a bite and then boom, get a big bite and lose it. I mean, I was getting bites really consistently, but I mean, I was pissed, you know, but I mean, there's not much you can do. I mean, that's how I've always kind of treated lost fish. Like, I don't let it ruin my day or let it ruin, you know, something. I just, you know, kind of try to put it past you, and you're just like, you know, try to catch the next one. You know, that's kind of what I do. I mean, I just kind of put my head down, but you can't relax in this format. So, I mean, it's something, you know, I guess I was somewhat nonchalant about it because I knew at any time, you know, Edwin could just catch a few fish and then boom, he's in the lead. So I try to kind of stay even keel and, you know, kind of just focus on what I got to do. And that's really what I do when I get in that zone.
Talk about the flow of a day. I mean, there's so much strategy involved when you're fishing the 8-hour day with the run time, and then you're uninterrupted for that entire day. You kind of get into a groove. With this, you've got the period breaks that cut up your day. You've got a marshal ask, you know, or a cameraman that's kind of asking responses. You know, when someone volleys back and catches a big one, that you could tell they kind of are asking what your thoughts are on it. Then you've got your official that's giving you score tracker updates every 15 minutes. It seems like there's a lot of potential for distraction to keep you from putting entire thoughts together. Talk a little bit about that and if that was kind of hard to work around all those distractions.
You know, I honestly like the score tracker to, you know, to some extent. I mean, I like to know, you know, if guys are catching fish. Like yesterday morning, you know, I was catching fish. They weren't big ones, but I was getting bites pretty consistently. And, you know, but nobody was catching fish yet. So, you know, that kind of tells you, well, you know, I don't have to change right now what I'm doing. I just need to, you know, keep doing this for a little bit longer, and you can kind of gamble a little bit more, go try some different stuff. And that's the cool thing about this everything to me is knowing what people have. And, you know, when you're going back and forth with somebody like we were doing, Edwin and I were doing, I mean, that's competition at its finest. I mean, that's just like a basketball game, somebody scoring, you know, scores a point, goes down the other end, scores a point, one of the other guys, I mean, just back and forth. And, you know, I feel like it's definitely a cool format. And, you know, it really, in the moment, just gets you excited. And there's a lot of pressure, but at the same time, you're just, you know, I don't know how to put it, really, except it's just, you know, an exciting way to fish.
Cool. I'm reading the reading what Jeffrey's just put out.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. Hey, Jordan, I have a question. What was so special about that area on that lake on the final day?
Yeah, so, you know, in the morning time, we have a round-around period. Well, the morning was super foggy, and you couldn't see into the water. You couldn't see anything. So, I mean, it was foggy for the, you know, first couple hours. In the end of the second period, I got in this area. I just literally was just kind of fishing my way around. I was flipping, doing stuff. I looked down in the water, and I'm just kind of looking, you know, looking in the water I normally do. And it got cleared up. It cleared up a lot. Water was super clear. And when I started the third period, I instantly started catching fish, and they were better fish. The fish looked like they were, you know, I mean, they were just coming in. I mean, a couple of them were real white, you know, like they were, it just looked fresh. They weren't like, you know, they were fat, looked good. So I just started getting bites, and the area was just a, it was hydrilla was in there, and it was just kind of patchy. It wasn't like real matted, it wasn't thick. But the water was gene clear. I mean, it was, you know, a couple feet visibility. And anytime you're in Florida, especially out there on Garcia, a lot of the lake was off-colored. It was dirtier. And that area was just a clean area. The fish were coming in there to spawn, or they were spawning already. And that was just, you know, that was just kind of a, it was a small area. It wasn't like a huge, huge area that, and that was just the difference maker.
Somebody on the instant feedback wants to know, did you ever catch the bedding fish that you lost earlier in the day?
No, I didn't. I didn't go back to it. I was thinking about going back to it at some point, but when I started, you know, getting those bites around on that chatterbait or on that bladed jig around that one area, you know, I didn't feel like I needed to go back. Yeah, so.
Jordan, this whole thing is like 8 days long. 2 days of practice, and then you either have an off day, fish a day, off day, fish a day, elimination round,
yeah,
final round. Does it seem like a marathon? And when it's all said and done, did it go quickly? Did it go slow? Were you more tired than you were used to be? Were you like, holy cow, it feels like it's been a year?
Honestly, I mean, I loved it. I mean, the off days for us, you don't feel like you're killing yourself, you know, like we've had in the past where I've always wanted an off day where you have time to get some rods together. You can re-spool and not be up all night. And having those off days where you can kind of prepare for the next day and kind of think about what you want to do, put a game plan together. And I loved it. I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't feel like it was a longer event. I felt like that I was a little bit more rested, and, you know, you could take it easy one day, do what you need to do. And, you know, the shortened practice period, that's probably the biggest change, you know, in all this. It's not really, you know, I mean, that's really the biggest change is only having a day and a half to, you get one bad weather day like we did, and it kind of, you know, it's pretty much, you got to practice in a tournament at some point for sure.
Hey, a couple of people on the instant feedback, Jordan, they want your opinion. Would you like to see on the final day that for the remainder of the events, you switch the lake on the final day? Is that a good move? Would you be okay with that?
I mean, personally, I wouldn't have won on Kissimmee. So, I'm glad we went to New Lake. And I feel like when I get on a new lake, that's what I love to do. I love to go to new water where everybody's even. There's nobody that's got a huge lead or anything like that. Everybody's on an even playing field. I think it, you know, over the course of the year, you're going to see some more of that, and you're going to see some where we just are fishing the same lake, where guys have the opportunity to go back to the same areas they fished, you know, the previous days. So, personally for me, I think it's awesome that you're, for no entry fee, for $100,000, you're going out and fishing a one-day tournament on a lake you haven't been on. I mean, that's about as exciting as it gets. I mean, I don't really know. You don't have any preconceived ideas. You're literally going out there, and you're just you get to try to figure out the fish and win a pile of money. So, I mean, that's just that doesn't get much better, you know, than that to me.
All right, Jordan, I have to ask you this. Before this event even started, if I would have walked up to you and said, hey, Jordan, do you think that you could win this tournament in Florida without catching a 5-pounder, what would your response have been?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I didn't even realize that. I don't know. I mean, I probably would have said you're crazy, to be honest with you. Typically a winner does catch the bigger fish, and I think just the way the format's set up, where you got to get on, you have to catch solid fish. I mean, you don't have to catch those great big ones, but you definitely have to be on better than average fish. And but I wouldn't have picked myself to win this event, I'll tell you that.
My final question, Jordan, I'm just sitting here thinking, you have back-to-back classic championships, you're on top of the world with bass, and then in a short amount of time you change your bait sponsor, your rod and reel sponsor, and the organization with which you fish.
Yeah.
And I got to admit, we sat here in the studio and went, holy cow, the guy's got the world by the tail, and now he's changing all this stuff to something that's completely unknown. You know, Jordan goes from the back-to-back classic champ who's now the face of bass to just another name on the Bass Pro Tour. That's what we said on air. How important was it for you to go out there with the Abu Garcia, with the Berkeley, with the new tour, and get your hands on that trophy in the first event?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely special. I feel confident, you know, more confident than I've ever been in my setups. Throwing the Abus this year and for a long time, and I'm definitely confident in them. I fished a lot this winter, and you know, just really confident in everything I'm doing right now. And that's what you have to pull off a win. I mean, you have to have that confidence, and I just felt it throughout this event. You know, during in the middle of the event when I, you know, was struggling, and then boom, just started catching them good. I kind of was feeling it then, and you got to have that momentum. And I'm excited to be a part of the MLS, and I feel like it's going to be big. I mean, I feel like all the guys, it wasn't much of a decision for me. I enjoyed bass and, had a great time there, but I felt like this could lead to, greener pastures at some point. So, I'm just excited to be a part of it, and think it was a great way to start out.
Awesome. All right, two more questions, and then we're going to let you go. The first question, once again, a couple of people on the instant feedback want to know, did you do anything special to the two main lures that you used on the final day, the vibrating jig and then the stick worm?
Not really. I felt like the vibrating jig, I was throwing a gold blade on it, and that's what I'd really done a lot of damage on throughout the whole event down there. I for whatever reason, when I had a few different bladed jigs on, different brands, everybody just thinks the jackhammer is the end all tell all, chatterbait, but it's not. There's different brands out there that make different vibrating jigs. I feel like I spent the off season, I bought several different brands, and I was kind of prepared coming down here that to have something different. And I was throwing one with a gold blade, and I felt like for whatever reason, Florida, you hear like golden shiners, it puts off that flash, and it was a green pumpkin with a little bit of chartreuse in it. That was my money bait all week. I mean, it really was. I was throwing a Berkeley General too, and I was pitching it on a lightweight. In Florida, a lot of guys thinking punching heavy mats. And yesterday there was a ton of mats on those lakes. But the lighter the weight I could go on that Berkeley General, the better, the more bites you get. So I was throwing like a 3/16 or even an 8, flipping that. You know, that was the two main baits for me that really worked.
All right, and then my final question, I'm just curious, you know, everybody, and we've got a ton of video and pictures that we're going to be putting together over the next few weeks, but everybody sporting their new jerseys, their new look. Obviously, yeah. You have a new look. I'm just curious, all of those jerseys that you wore during your classic victories, what did you do with those? Do you still have them?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. You know, a lot of them I do give away to, you know, to charities and other organizations or other people. And but Kristen, my wife, she always, if I win a tournament out of a jersey, she has it framed. So, which is pretty cool. You know, the last two classics, she's pretty much took the jersey off my back and hit it in her backpack or whatever, and you know, she's kept that exact jersey to put in a frame. So I don't know. I think we may have one more to hang up, but yeah. So that's what we do with them, and it's pretty cool to look back on, you know, especially later on in life, and look at the different jerseys, and you know, you can kind of see the changes throughout.
That's cool. That's really neat that she does that. And then, obviously, you got to be looking forward to Conroe.
Yeah, I'm excited to go back. You know, I haven't wet a line since the classic there. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back there. You know, it's a different time of year. Obviously, I don't know Conroe very well. So I don't feel like I have any advantage or anything like that. But, you know, having one there before, it is special to go back, and it'll feel good, you know, putting my boat in the water that first morning of practice.
You're not going to get to take a breath for the next, because then you go and everyone's going to ask you about Conroe like we did. Then everyone's going to ask you about winning three classics in a row.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be insane for you for the next like month and a half. It's just got to be.
It is. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it yet. I haven't got that far. I've been trying to take just a day at a time. But, yeah, it will be pretty crazy. And but it's going to be fun, you know. I mean, I don't feel like this necessarily takes the pressure off. But winning the first one, you know, I mean, that's going to be hard to – it's going to be hard to top. But, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, some bigger – you know, the classic coming up is going to be a lot of fun. Just getting back in the swing of things, man. I mean, I'm just excited to start fishing tournaments again. I was ready to come down here, and you know, I'm looking forward to the next year for sure.
This is funny. We'll wrap up with this. Jake in Ohio says that if you win at Conroe, they're going to change the name to Major Lee Fishing.
That's pretty good. I doubt it. They're going to put me in my place. Don't worry.
All right.
But, yeah, you're right. They may kick me off the tour if I win another one here in the next few. I kind of even hate coming in when all the guys are there, but, you know.
Just puts his head down.
Oh, shucks. Yeah. I want another one.
Sorry I beat you guys by so much again.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes for me. I'm just like, well, sorry, guys. Sorry, not sorry, you know.
All right, man. Well, can't thank you enough for taking time out on a Monday. Just a tremendous performance on the final day and really throughout the week in Florida. And best of luck to you, man. We're looking forward to seeing you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me, and y'all take it easy.
All right. Take care, Jordan.
All right.
See you.
See y'all.
All right. There you have it. Jordan Lee.
Think about this, Mark. Think about what this next month. This could put him – I don't know what stratosphere you want to put him in. Hey, you've never seen anyone come in this young. Win that, win this, win that. But he's a third of the way there. He will have a legit shot to win on Conroe. Would it surprise you if he wins on Conroe? And would it surprise
Absolutely
you if he
not.
Goes to the Tennessee River and wins the Classic there?
No.
And in the span of a month and a half, win both of the Major League Fishing events and win three consecutive Bassmaster Classics, bank $500,000. And, I mean, that would put him in a different stratosphere than anything that we've seen since I've covered it. I mean, I would have to go back to 2008 Kevin Van Dam to even remotely get close to an angler who was in that kind of zone.
Yeah. No Elite Series win, though, which is weird. All those years.
Which really wasn't that many years. It's like 3-4 years. That's not all those years.
That's a number of tournaments, though.
Right, but you look
having
at the top 10
two classics
that he's had. Right.
Yeah, he came close. But do you remember 2 months ago that I said, what is Bass going to do? Because he's kind of the face of what they want to develop to.
That's what I asked him.
From
I
a
said,
brand.
That's what we talked about. We were like, man, you would think it would be tough for Jordan Lee to leave Bass when he knows he could be
Look
the face
what he
of
went
it
out
with the
did.
Two classics. Now, if you go to the Bass Pro Tour, the MLF website, the winning pattern is Jordan Lee. The gallery is Jordan Lee with the trophy. And then you scroll over to MLF News, and it's the 2019 Summit Select Sudden Death Round.
Yeah.
Guess who won that? Jordan Lee.
Yeah.
It's the Jordan Lee website.
It's the Major Lee Fishing League.
Major Lee Fishing.
Yeah. It's crazy. Crazy. All right, man. A lot of discussion on the instant feedback about the Ike situation. We will get into that a little bit later in the week. I'm actually going to try and reach out to Ike. Hey, bottom line, everybody knows the dude is an emotional person.
And just explain what happened.
You know, he thought that he was in. He thought he finished in 10th place. He ended up fishing in 11th. He found out after he kind of convinced himself that he was in and actually talked a little bit about what he did and told everybody, hey, you better look out for me, you know, on this lake and everything. And then come to find out there was a fish caught on the final cast by Jared Littner that knocked Mike out. And then Mike kind of, you know, he got emotional and said some things. And, you know, it is what it is. But that's kind of the beauty of this live format. It's uncut, uncensored. And this is something that I did some research in, Matthew, and I did not realize that the guys have the option. It is not required. The guys have the option to go through the drive-thru.
Okay, yeah, you told me that. I did not realize that.
I didn't know that, and that was based upon some of our research and with the help of Dave, who was on location down there the entire week, that we were informed that, yes, it is optional. You don't have to go through the drive-thru if you don't want. The other thing is, I received numerous texts about whether or not he was going to be fined, if there were going to be some kind of penalties or anything like that. And in my discussion with Major League Fishing officials, that remains to be determined. There has been no decision. They really don't have anything in place from a fine standpoint of which anything would happen to Ike. So that remains unknown. There's no decision. Hell, there might not be anything done.
You know what it reminded me of?
Yeah.
God, we'll go back to bowling just to keep the streak alive. Remember when they – did you watch the – or listen to the 30 for 30 on Pete Weber?
Yeah.
Where –
when he kicked the foul light?
No, when he changed organizations, he was talking to – or when they changed owners, he was talking to the owners, and they were like, yeah, we want you to express
yourself.
Be a
rebel. Yeah.
And boom, something happened where he did that, and then he did the crotch chop and all that. And
I mean, I remember back in the day when he was 18 or 19, he kicked the foul light. Mm-hmm. There's a light that's right next to the
Do you think this was planned?
Lane.
Think about it. Think about this, Mark.
No.
Think about it. I'm just going
Are
back
you
on
crazy?
History for Iaconelli. Absolutely. Think about it.
No.
What'd he do when Bass bought ESPN? What happened? The
Dude,
light post, the DQ. Rojas is leading the classic, and the headline was Iaconelli DQ'd Rojas leads.
No. So far from
smart. Think about the TTBC.
No, there hasn't
with
even
Keith
been
Coates.
Anything said about it. Yeah, there's been some posts on
We're
social
talking
media
about it.
And everything. That's because some people on the instant feedback
They're talking about
it. But it was not a focus for Major League Fishing.
Right. No, okay.
All right. Yeah, the fans. Yeah, of course the fans are going to talk about it.
I think it's a brilliant strategy.
You know what shocked me? The fact that it wasn't, what do they call it? Trending on Twitter or Instagram or whatever.
Trending?
Yeah, you know they have those trends when things happen.
Is Major League Fishing trending?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
Supposedly it was the okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Number two downloaded app behind ESPN.
That is what I'm saying, okay? Situations like that, you look at any other sport or any other activity, mm-hmm. when something of that nature takes place and you have that many people watching it, you would think that Mike Iaconelli would be trending on one of the social medias. I didn't look.
The number two downloaded app behind ESPN.
I'm not a social media guy, so I have no idea.
You think that's legit?
I don't know, man. I told you, I am totally removed from that whole gig.
A couple anglers who put that out, and mysteriously, that's what I've been doing here, scrolling through, and those posts are gone. It's only available. There was an angler. An angler who posted this. I would have bring this up because I found this very interesting.
Am I not right, though, that Mike Iaconelli would have been trending?
Listen to this. This is a post by someone who competed there. At Major League Fishing Official is currently the number two app only behind ESPN. Surprise face emoji. Hashtag, they are all replaceable. Hashtag, maybe not.
I don't know, man.
I think the classic just is going to get more tense and weirder and weirder.
If you really think that whole situation was planned, you're so delusional.
I was just brought it up. It seems like every time there's a new thing, you know, that TTBC changes, the Ike, the deal, the classic deal.
That's just
deal.
Ike, man. He was pissed off. You would have been too. You probably would have done the same thing.
I was just bringing it up. I just thought it was, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have been pissed. Is there's no fine in Major League Fishing for there were several choice words used by a variety of different anglers across the 6 days of live coverage.
Do what now? One more time?
There were a bunch of guys who dropped F-bombs live.
Oh, a bunch of other cuss words,
I tried
too.
To say that nicely.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, several. So I don't know if there's a fine in place. I did talk to an official. And I say an official. I'm not talking about the guys in stripes, in the black and white stripes. I talked to an official member of the, I don't know what you call it, the committee or whatever it is. And he brought up a good point. He's like, yeah, we don't have anything in place mm-hmm. from a fine standpoint. But, you know, it's more about doing whatever they did to their brand and not the Major League Fishing brand.
Yeah,
which is a valid point. So whether or not fines are going to be in place because of certain words that are used during the live coverage, who knows?
Here's what I did like. Did you not notice as it went on and everything got more, as they kind of got dialed in as it went on, it was hard to get used to at first, but it turned more into like the way that golf is covered, where they cut to a guy right before he hits his shot. Or if there's a guy who's way down in the pack who all of a sudden gets on, you know that guy's about to hit it like within 3 foot. Because why else would they be going to him? But they got it dialed in to where it was boom, 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 to where you were seeing guys with fish catches. I liked that.
Well, it was more like the TV show.
I know. But I think there's some people who like the watching the same guy for a half hour to actually develop it. But from an excitement standpoint, when they cut to a different guy, you knew he was about to jack one.
Yeah.
And Bass does the same thing. I mean, you could tell whenever they go to it and Tommy Sanders go, we are on Keith Combs. You're like, hey, he's fixing to catch one.
Yeah. On the instant feedback, should they have a dump button?
A dump button.
Yeah. Because of the delay. And then they could bleep it out. You know, a lot of people are saying, no, keep it real. I tend to agree. I mean, maybe you put a disclaimer here that...
Well, it's different.
The following show is rated PG-13.
It's different if you're watching it with your kid. Look at me being mature. I mean, like you said, like Gag said, you don't want your six-year-old to lose a bluegill at the edge of the pond and go, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
With grandma and grandpa right there.
Well, yeah.
You know?
But that is raw emotion there. Woo! I don't think he was faking anything on that one.
No.
Anyway, did you like the question? We're going away from a different topic about the fact that could you have asked any of those guys and said, hey, dude, do you think you're going to win and not catch a 5-pound fish in Florida? No, what do you think they would have said?
To have a bigger one.
Yeah.
And there were a number of nines caught and a seven. And
yeah. Yeah.
So,
I don't know, man. I really don't see how you could handicap these events.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
Really, really, really tough.
But what you're going to end up seeing is that there are just some guys who catch fish. They're just fish catchers.
Yeah.
And they might not show up in a five fish yeah. tournament because they don't catch the bigger ones.
Yeah.
But here, the guys who catch fish, they're going to make the top 10s. They're going to make the top 20s. I think you're going to see a lot more guys in this format that go 7 for 8, that go 8 for 8 as far as making that top 20 than you would on the Elite Series. You know, last year, Josh Bertrand was the only guy who cashed a check in every single tournament.
Yeah.
Who made the top 50. I think you might see 3, 4, 5 guys in this
eight
tournament format that go into the top 20 in every one. And at the end, you're going to go, that guy catches them everywhere.
Yeah. From a fishing standpoint, one of the things that I picked up on, did you see, and Randy Howell is one that comes to mind immediately, smash him on one day, struggle on the next day. They were obviously on a school.
And yeah, I didn't want to beat it up to save him for the third.
Strategy.
The other thing is a lot of guys fish fast, Mark. That score tracker makes guys fish fast. There really isn't a whole bunch of hunkering down except if you're a leader. I mean, you watch the end.
Yeah.
Edwin Evers burning his bait back to the boat. Just shoo, 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 shoo.
The strategy is so different. And so different.
Yeah, we'll see trends start to develop. Big week this week, though, because the FLW Tour goes to Toho. Obviously, different conditions. Water's getting warmer. Weather's being different. We're going to see if a guy can win that without a 5-pounder. I don't think that's going to happen, Mark.
No.
And simultaneously, the Elite Series guys practicing right now on the very different St. John's River. Got a message from a viewer. Not much grass in Lake George. Probably going to be more of a shell bed deal. All those FLW guys had a chance to watch it. Probably some bladed jigs with the gold blade in front.
Yeah, you picked up on
some
that.
Of those schools. Obviously, the guys know where that is, so it'll be very interesting to see if that trend continues. 91 pounds to win on Rayburn. We'll see if we can break the 90-pound on this again. We'll see who gets off to the start on the Elite Series. We'll see what the rest of the feedback is for the Major League Fishing that wrapped up. We didn't even get to the fact that the other event that was on Okeechobee,
Peter T's
kid, Nick, won the event for his first pro win. That's kind of cool.
That is cool.
And it took, what, like less than 15-something a day to win that one?
Yeah.
Not very much.
All right, big show tomorrow. Boy Duckett on live via Skype. You don't want to miss that one. We'll get his take on everything that went down in Florida from an MLF perspective. And then Mark Menendez on Wednesday getting ready for the Elite Series event on the St. John's River. Everybody, be safe. I want to say thank you to Jordan Lee for taking time out on his way in his travels to join the show and give us some insight on his victory. Everybody, be safe. We will talk to you tomorrow. We're out of here.